This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. My name is Maryam Lemu and welcome back to my lecture series. I've been talking about trust, belief and hope. During the last episode, I promised that I would share tips on how to build on taqwa, which is God consciousness. And just a reminder, I am not a scholar. I'm just a student. Each day I learn and grow from everyone and everything around me. Taqwa, God consciousness. This should be a constant in our lives. This should always be running behind the scenes. It should always be steady and stable. Allah says in the Quran, the most honorable is the most God conscious. He also said, and for everyone who is conscious of Allah, He always prepares a way out and provides for him from sources he could never imagine. I love that. We often take vitamins and minerals to build a strong immune system, to fight against diseases and also to prevent them. With taqwa, we start to develop a strong spiritual immune system. We need to immunize ourselves to strengthen our faith, immunize ourselves to prevent the diseases of the heart, immunize ourselves to give us more confidence in our faith, and also to help us survive the trials. Immunizing with taqwa is that constant awareness of Allah, feeling Allah's presence always in our lives, knowing that He sees us, knowing that He hears us, He knows what we are going through, He knows our deepest fears and thoughts, everything about us. And allowing Him to also be our guide. For me, this was very, very hard growing up. It was very difficult for me to achieve that feeling, that connection with Allah, truly believing that Allah sees me, is hearing me, and He knows everything that I'm going through. It was very tough. I grew up in a very religious household. My father, my brother are both religious scholars, and my mother has written so many books and given lectures all over the world on Islam. And I took Islam for granted. It was served to me on a silver platter, so to speak. However, I was more of a Muslim by name. Even though we read the Quran and we went through hadiths as a family, we sat together, shared the beautiful stories from the seerah, and I saw Islam being practiced. However, I had two experiences that I went through that, looking back, I think really affected my faith. The first thing that really bothered me was that society had expectations of me, of who I was supposed to be, how I was supposed to behave, and I was judged often. And also that expectation that they had really was a turnoff, because often when I go out, they criticize my dressing, they criticize my speech, the company I kept, and my conduct. And unfortunately, I rebelled. I was like, okay, you don't like this, then I do the total opposite. The second contributing factor to my lack of interest was the questionable character of the Islamiyah scholars that were teaching us the Quran. One of them tried to get us to take foodstuff from my mother's store from time to time when he comes to teach us. He'd actually tell us to go bring a specific item for him. Obviously, that's stealing. Another one, which still disgusts me today whenever I see him, tried to grope me. I was really young. We were learning Quran with him, under him. We were entrusted in his hands as an amana. It was actually my late half-brother, may Allah have mercy on him, who realized what was going on and moved me from my sitting position so he couldn't have physical contact with me. To get even, he would actually report me to my father and tell him that I was misbehaving or my brother was misbehaving, and my father would discipline us. Later, alhamdulillah, he was changed. But what is so pathetic about this man today is he walks around preaching with airs of relevance. But Allah sees them all. I have heard of so many horrendous stories of people who have been through far worse experiences than I did. Sadly, I did change. This experience I went through affected me. Why? Because the person who was meant to teach me the message from Allah didn't behave according to the preachings, to the teachings of Islam. And this was a real turnoff. There's a lot that parents could learn from my experience and other people's experiences. Number one is to make sure they go out of their way to be very vigilant, to protect their children, keep them in open places, make sure that they make the children feel very comfortable reporting whatever it is that makes them uncomfortable. And then never let your guard down. Be extremely vigilant when it comes to your children. And because, unfortunately, there's no standardized curriculum for Islamia, in the absence of this, some Islamia tutors can come up with their own methodology. And this methodology is causing a lot of damage. We are lacking institutions that will set a standard for at least certain basics when it comes to teaching the Quran. Sadly, we focus so much more on how much of the Quran we have memorized and how we pronounce each word perfectly, more than whether we understand the meaning, the message of the Quran, whether it's translated into character and good action. There are so many whom I know who teach the Quran and who recite so beautifully, sometimes move one to tears, but they have questionable character. We memorize verses and hadiths which we don't know the meaning of. We are not actually getting the message from Allah. I strongly believe that we need to put a lot of emphasis on not only learning how to pronounce verses in the Quran perfectly, but I believe most importantly that we should either learn the language of the Quran or memorize the meaning of the Quran so we get this powerful message to us. If I may digress, even in the Friday sermons that we go to in many, many mosques in non-Arab speaking countries, the sermon is delivered in a language that most people don't understand. Some mosques make an effort to make sure they deliver it in the language the majority speak. However, this is a strong concern. Why? Because who are we preaching to? What message are we trying to get across? And why shouldn't they make noise when they don't know what is being said? This is just my honest opinion. As for me, I had a lot of questions, but I didn't dig for answers. Islam just seemed to be so complicated. I felt that Allah wasn't answering my prayers because I prayed and I just didn't see those results. And prayers became more like an exercise for me. Sadly, I skipped on many of my prayers. It wasn't until my mid-20s into my early 30s that I started to discover Islam. And throughout this time when I wasn't praying, I actually hid this from my husband. I think more out of shame because of the family I came from. But I started to feel this emptiness inside. I started to feel that something was missing. So I called my brother Nuru and I shared what I was going through with him. And this was, alhamdulillah, the beginning of a turning point for me. He told me that Allah was very merciful and that He knows what I'm going through, and that He's very forgiving. Now, contrary to what I thought He would say, is, Maryam, you're going to burn in hell, astaghfirullah. He told me that Allah was closer to me than I imagined, and that I should start to count my blessings. And this was something I never ever took the time to do. He got me to realize that some of those things that I prayed for may not have been good for me. But He also got me to see that there are so many things that I didn't pray for that Allah had given me, Allah had blessed me with. I remember feeling extremely guilty that I had doubted Allah, that I had abandoned Allah. I cried and I asked Allah to forgive me. And then I got curious enough to start reading. And so I started reading small, small. I still read small, small. That's why I say I'm not a scholar, I'm a student. I started to observe and look around me. The feeling that I got whenever I got a hug from someone, that warmth, that happiness, that comfort, I realized that that was Allah's presence in my life. Alhamdulillah, my mom taught me to appreciate nature. I started to notice Allah's presence in a beautiful sunrise and a spectacular golden sunset. I started to look in the sky and watch how the clouds floated by and the stars, how they shone like diamonds in the sky. And that was Allah's presence, His power, His majesty. In the flowers and the smell and the beauty, in insects, the beauty of a butterfly, how it not only pollinates, but it makes the world beautiful just by being in it. I saw Allah in every intricate detail of the design of the insects and the creatures all around us. And then a leaf fell on my lap at that same moment. Then I looked up in the tree I was sitting under and I saw a gazillion leaves and looked around me and thousands of leaves everywhere, everywhere. And I thought of the number of leaves that keep falling where I am in the whole universe and how many trees, how many leaves. And that Allah says, not a leaf falls, but He knows it. That Allah is conscious of every single leaf that falls. Alhamdulillah, for the ability to see, to feel Allah's presence, to smell His creations in the flowers and in nature, just to be able to taste the wonders of what Allah has blessed us with. I can never stop being grateful for finding and discovering Allah. Alhamdulillah. I thought I would be giving you just two episodes, but I realize I have just one more to go to share with you. So please join me for the next episode where, inshallah, I'll go through trials and how I got to understand what these trials are from Allah, and how if you feel you've gone off the right path, off the Sirat al-Mustaqim, I might be able to share a few tips to help us get back on track. If you enjoyed this, please share it with others. You can also follow me on Facebook or subscribe to my YouTube channel at Maryam Lemu. I look forward to having you back. Assalamu alaikum.